Please take your Bibles and open with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. We looked it up in Sunday school there. We've been here for almost 2.5 years, and there is so much in this book of Hebrews because folks wanted to go back and leave the promise of grace and go back to the law and back to the rules. And Paul spent the whole book of Hebrews to explain that, no, we are saved by grace and grace alone. And so here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13, Hebrews 10, 13, says, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said, therefore, before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now having therefore, brother, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having now a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's end that with the 22nd verse, and let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy your precious word, because we need to study, we need to know your precious word. And Father, we know why that you directed Paul to write the book of Hebrews. It's because, Father, they kept wanting to go back to the temple. They kept wanting to go back and bring offerings. And Father, by the Holy Spirit, you've directed Paul to tell these young Christians, no, my grace is sufficient. I have done it all on the cross. I have paid the price. So please, brothers and sisters, stay here. That was the message that this book tells us. Come, follow me. We're no longer under the law. We're under grace. So please, Father, help us to see that today very clearly. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We can look at this verse here, and when we look at that word, henceforth, it means from this time forward, henceforth, from this time forward, looking forward. And then the next word there in verse 13 is expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And we find that there is much that is taking place until that event takes place. And this morning studying, then I got stuck on a hymn, and that hymn was until then, and it's in the hymn book. It's 424, but here's the chorus. So, but until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I will carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that, I can't read my own writing, that city, until the day God calls me home. Now, I'm going to read that once again, because this is what I'm going to read. Christ is making intercession for believers, acting daily as our mediator, our advocate. These are things that are taking place right now for you and me, so we can sing that beautiful chorus, until the day. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I will carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. And that is a beautiful hymn. I went through it a few times to see if we could sing it. I need to work on it because it is a powerful hymn. And you look at it sometime, it's 424. So until then, now we are expecting, and it says here, henceforth expecting. And so until then, Christ is making intercession for believers. Christ is acting daily as our mediator and our advocate. He is anticipating and expecting that glorious day when he's going to call his church home and he's going to come and meet us. He has completed, it will be presented, we will be presented to him without spot, without wrinkle. What a joy that's going to come that day. And so, but until then, until that day, we need to be serving him and praising him and worshiping him. And so today, he is expecting, but on that day he will act and he will come again, not as a baby in a manger, but he will come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his enemies will all be under his feet. And we need to understand that that day is going to come. Now that day will not arrive until 7 years of tribulation to come, 1,000-year reign of Christ, and at the close of that, is when the enemy, and the ultimate enemy, is the enemy of death. And he will put that down, never to return again. And what a joy that's going to be. But that's going to come. If Jesus would come right now, if he would come and take us home right now, it would be 1,007 years before that takes place, before this event. But it will come. It will be here. There will be a day. As we go on now to verse 14, it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So we're back to this, and the wonderful words in verse 19, he calls them brethren. And so Jesus does not, he calls the Jews his brethren, but here he is referring to believers. Those folks that know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, you have acknowledged that you're a sinner. You've acknowledged that you need a Savior, and you've invited the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And when you do that, when that is taken care of, then, by one offering he hath perfected, it is finished, perfected. By that offering, Christ has provided all believers for everything. Now, if you're trying to work your way there, if you're trying to somehow or other satisfy a righteous God by your works, it's not going to work. You're going to be disappointed, and you're defeated all of your life. You need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your life, for your power, and for your strength, and he has done everything. He has provided everything that we need. A couple verses of scripture we're going to look at here. Just flip back a page to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews 9, 12. It says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He has done it all. Can we get that in our mind? That he has finished the work of salvation for us. Now, our joy is to serve him, and our joy is to love him, and our joy is to walk with him. But concerning salvation, it is finished. He has completed that work. Let's go back a page here to 10, back to the 10th chapter, verse 10. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once." It's done. It's finished. Paul had so much trouble with these Hebrew Christians. And when I say Hebrew Christians, he's talking about believers that have been deceived. They have went back to the old ways. They've been back to the laws. They've went back to the works. They've went back to these things. And Paul is saying, again, directed completely by the Holy Spirit, saying, no, no, Jesus has finished it. And again, we confirm this because 6 years later, because they did not listen, they did not pay attention to what Paul said, he destroyed the temple. He empowered Rome to come in and destroyed the temple and destroyed all of Jerusalem, and many, many thousands of Jews died because they did not listen to what Paul had to say. They continued to bring offerings. They continued. Yes, they were saved. And Paul said, stop this. Stop this. And they refused to do that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5 and 6. Ephesians 1, 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted. We're accepted because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see that. Now, as we look on down here at that 14th verse, so first in verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever. Perfected. It's finished. Forever them that are sanctified. In the present tense here, it does not mean that we are made perfect. In God's eyes, yes, we are made perfect. Our sins are gone. We're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We have nothing to be concerned about concerning our salvation because Jesus saved us. But this word sanctified is not, we did not become physically perfect because of the flesh. We still live in the flesh. And so we still have sin. That's the reason that we need to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, because we need to continue the fellowship with him. And the closer we walk with him, the more he is able to give us in wisdom and understanding and power and strength. And so we need to walk with him each day. But it does not, it's not saying that we will be personally holy, because that will only happen until the day we go home and to be with him. It does mean that we are being set apart as a believer by the Holy Spirit. We have been set apart from this world. We're no longer of this world. The standing of such a person before God is righteous through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Jesus finished that work. Christ Jesus is all we need. You know, we need Jesus. We need him. He has taken care of everything. We need to put him first, not second, not down the line, not in front of our efforts or our works. We need to put the Lord Jesus first. If we will always put him first, because we need Jesus. Every individual in this world needs Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you need nothing else. You have all in the Lord Jesus. And yes, he will supply your needs, but understand that Jesus has to be number one. And you have to come by faith to him, not by works, but by faith to him. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 8. First, before we do that, let's read verse 15 through 18 back here in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There is no more offering for sin. There's an awful lot there. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regard them not, saith the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This text here is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 32 through 34. It's a direct quote from Jeremiah as we look at that eighth verse. The Holy Spirit, as we read back here in back to chapter 10 again, the Holy Spirit is the witness to us. The Holy Spirit is the one that testifies of the unity of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. As we study the Word of God, it is the Holy Spirit that lives within the believer that allows us to know that and to understand that. We find a new law, the new law, the life in Jesus Christ, only by and through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left here, he said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And he is coming, and he's going to convict us of our sin. And he's going to show us who we are, and then introduce us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we read back in Hebrews 8 through 12, it shows the superiority of the new covenant. Don't get hung up on the old one, because that's what happened to these Hebrew believers. Under the new and better covenant, God's law would be written in man's heart instead of on tablets of stone. Be written in man's heart. But here, we are given more. It is a permanent covenant, and because of the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary, sins are forever washed away. Forever washed away. Forever given. Forever forgiven. Sins of the believer will never come up again. Understand that. Never come up again. Under the old covenant, the Mosaic law, sin was covered for just a season. Many today desire to bring us back to that. During the time that Paul here in the year 64, they were already trying to combine religion with Christianity. True Christianity is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, accepting you're a sinner and saying yes to Jesus and walk by faith to him and him alone, not by works. Just for a season. But Christ's one offering of himself atoned sin forever. There's the issue that the whole book of Hebrews is about. And this is the reason that nobody studies the book of Hebrews. They believe that it's a difficult book. Well, if you have no understanding of the tabernacle, then it makes it more and more difficult. But it is a very simple book, and it's a very, very important book, because it allows us to see that we are saved by grace and grace alone, not by a single work that we do. We are not under the law. And again, Christ's one offering of himself atoned for the sin of everyone forever. Now, that's where they come up with this universal salvation, that everybody's saved. And that is a lie, because you have to personally invite the Lord Jesus into your heart. And that comes when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart. For the believer, sin has been taken away. It's been nailed to the cross of Jesus. It has been remitted. It has been pardoned. It has been forgiven. And for how long? Not for a season, but forever. 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 Now, this perfect sacrifice is and was accepted by God the Father. That is important for us to understand. That is when we're going to get to this next verse of verse 19 in just a few minutes. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Christ. We go right through that veil, because that veil doesn't exist anymore. The law is gone. Jesus has taken our place, and we can come right to the Lord Jesus, right to God the Father. There is no more offering for sin. There is something people have trouble accepting. There is no more offering for sin. Verse 17 and 18, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, for where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Don't try to add something to it. Don't try to think something you can do is going to answer it, because Jesus has answered the problem. He has taken care of it. This perfect sacrifice. And again, it was accepted by God the Father. Remember Mary, we just went through that, you know. Mary said, Jesus said to Mary, he said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. He had not taken his blood back and gave it to his Father. He says, here, it is finished. It's completed. Wasn't long that then they did. They embraced him. But that first time, he had not finished completely what needed to be done. To make an effort to do something, to put yourself under the law, is to dishonor God and to state that the finished work of the cross, understand how important this is, that the finished work of the cross wasn't sufficient. That's what you're saying. If you're going back under the law, and that's exactly what these Hebrew Christians were doing. They were going back to the temple, and they were bringing offerings back to the temple. You cannot do that. Because you're saying, you're stating, Jesus is not sufficient to save me. What he did on the cross wasn't enough. We need to acknowledge that. Wasn't enough. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, not very far away. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Understand, please understand. Jesus is perfect. He made the complete sin offering. He made it once and is to never be repeated. But if you believe there is some ability that you do or some act that you need to perform to maintain this or to prove to God that you're good enough, you're never going to be. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus. Forever. The need is met. The demand is satisfied. That's what this scripture is telling us. And now we go on and see how wonderful this is. Having therefore, brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That veil was torn from top to bottom. And the tradition says they tried to sew it back together and it just kept ripping apart. It would not stay because now we do not need to bring an offering unto the Lord because he has paid the price. We just need to come to him by faith and by faith alone. Forever. Forever. We have seen Christ as our great high priest walk right into the presence of God the Father. That is what we witnessed with the crucifixion, with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, with the precious blood of Jesus. He took that blood and he walked right into his Father's presence and said, "Here, I have paid the debt. It is paid in full. All you need to do is come by faith to me, and that's it. That's all." Right into the Holy of Holies. And he sat down and he said, "Yes, it is finished." His sacrifice. Jesus is so sinless, so pure, so complete that it makes all other sacrifices of none effect. They're completely futile. There is no reason for them. And whether we try to add something by ourselves because we've placed ourselves back under the law, admit it, you're saying the Son of God didn't finish the work. Because that's what you're saying. And we need to understand that. Boldness. Therefore, in this first, having therefore, if you go back to two verses of Scripture, and that is the 12th verse of chapter 10, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God." How clear can that be? It can't be any clearer than that. Forever, it says. And then if you would go from that 12th verse down to the 14th verse, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Those that are sanctified are those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We have been set aside for him to praise his precious name. And boldness there means confidence and assurance. We need not to approach God with fear. We need to approach him with love. We need not to approach him with some sacrifice, some offering, whether it's by works or some means of that. And again, the holiest is the veil that we find, the veil that was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And as we look at this, the only time that they could go into there was on the Day of Atonement He went in once for himself with the blood of the bullock. You could never, ever go in without the blood. And when our Savior, the Lord Jesus, finished the work, he went right into the Holy of Holies, right into the throne of God, and handed God his blood. Handed God the Father, said, "Here, I have finished that work. You have demanded the blood, here's the blood. I have died on the cross for these. They just need to come by faith to you." By the blood of Jesus. That's how our Savior entered into the Holy of Holies. No one since Adam has ever dared to enter into the presence of God without the blood. Before Adam fell, he could walk right into God's presence. But as soon as he ate of the forbidden fruit, from that time on, you could never approach God without the blood. We do not literally carry the blood of Jesus while going into God's presence, but we have been cleansed by it, so we have been covered by the blood of Jesus. And since the blood of Jesus Christ satisfied God completely, we who believe on him have confidence and absolute faith. We can approach God our Father without fear. Judaism was the way of death. So if you want to go back to that, that's what you're entertaining. The death of animals. You're saying the death of Jesus on the cross was not sufficient. But Christ is the living way. He is not dead. He is alive. Two verses of scripture and then we'll close. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing ever liveth to make intercession for them. And let's go to one other wonderful scripture verse, John 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus saith to them, the words of the Lord Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Let's close in prayer. Father, I just ask that you will just guide and lead us and not let us get sidetracked and away from you. You have paid in full our salvation. You have redeemed us. You have set us free from the law so clearly. These Jewish believers wanted to go back. Paul's instruction was very clear. But we know they didn't listen as a whole. And so 6 years later, God empowered Rome to come in and tear that temple down, saying, if you're going to continue to come here, then I'm going to annihilate it, and I am going to drive you away from Jerusalem. And they found themselves in all parts of the world. And only, Father, you know, until 1948 did they possess the land once again. Beginning to call them one more time, giving one more chance for them to come by faith, not by works. So please, Father, let us stand with you and walk with you each and every day. By faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.